Our special guest this morning is conductor Emmanuel Plasson, here in the islands to conduct HOT's new production of Gounod's Roméo et Juliette, scheduled for three performances October 12th, 14th, and 16th at the Blaisdell Concert Hall. Good morning, Emmanuel.
Good morning, Jean.
I remember the first time I heard your father, Michel, conduct. It was a brilliant performance of the Roussel Third Symphony, broadcast on Hawaii Public Radio. Oh. I never dreamed in a million years that one day I'd be interviewing his son on this station.
You never know.
So, like father, like son, was that the plan from the beginning?
Oh, maybe yes. Maybe with the plan of the gods, I don't know. But yes, I was born in this amazing family of musicians, my mother being my violin teacher from almost the very beginning. And I got to know this environment so early on, and I got to play with my father's orchestra as a soloist, as an orchestra player. I remember playing the Bartok Violin Concerto No. 2, which I'm quite proud of because it's a huge work. That was my height as a violinist, and he was fantastic. And then I got to meet wonderful artists, of course, you know, the singers that came by just to perform. The recordings with Alfredo Kraus and Montserrat Caballé was just unbelievable. Yeah.
It's a cliche, perhaps, that the ideal French conductor keeps things light and transparent, because so much of French music requires this.
It's very true, you know, and it's not. It's a reality. It's a reality, and it actually, you know, it not only for French repertoire, but it's good to apply it to other repertoires as well, because then today the orchestras sound big, beautiful, massive, impressive, but they all kind of sound the same. And I think if we bring a little bit of this lightness and elegance, maybe, and I would say charm as well, you know, if we try to achieve that to other music, then it will make the sound better, and it will make the whole thing more attractive, and orchestras respond to that. I remember, and also here with this wonderful orchestra, do you call it Hawaii Symphony or because it has changed?
It's the Hawaii Symphony.
But they're wonderful. We've had such a wonderful time working on Roméo together, and they get that idea, and they love it, and they want more because they know it's it makes them practice their sound, refine everything, and they're all good for that.
So. Your father was a great conductor, as I mentioned. As a conductor yourself, what one thing did you learn from your father that you found most useful?
It's a very good question. I would think if we speak about opera, definitely the experience, watching him work with different singers, allowing them to express themselves according to the specific voice they would have, and not imposing too much, you know, his impact or his views on the music, but rather allowing the artist to really express themselves. So I think that was very important for me to observe in the theater, to see him work, see him deal with all the requirements, you know, the forces in place. And I think to conduct an opera, you need to understand that very quickly, that you need to help the singers, and you're not the only one there. You really have to accept and understand what you receive from the other artist and do with it.
Now, Eric Leinsdorf, I remember, who conducted a great deal of opera in his day, finally concluded that it was a losing battle, that there were just too many elements to coordinate, and something always goes wrong, at least from the conductor's vantage point.
It's not entirely inaccurate. I think that's the beauty of that art form, is it's so alive, and so it's like a wild animal that might betray you at any time, yes, but when you reach wonderful heights with it, then it's so worth it. I mean, you know, when you have a chorus that sounds magnificent, like this one here, doing the big numbers, then we are taken by the energy of it and the risk. Yeah, I mean, it's as I said, it's the adventure of it that really attracts me very much to this art form. It's the fact, the you never know fact. But we work hard. We put a show together. That this one is a beautiful one. I encourage you everyone to come, because it's the production looks a bit modern, but good modern. It's a very friendly modern, should I say, for an opera production. So it's a very exciting project.
When everything goes right, there's nothing quite like grand opera.
Exactly, that's what I meant. Exactly, absolutely. It's because you have so many great elements combined. You have the voices, the chorus, the orchestra, and the atmosphere that can happen in 1 second, and it can be magic, and that's what we're after every time, and I hope to achieve that tomorrow night.
Let's talk a little bit about the opera Romeo and Juliet. Yeah. All the many operatic treatments of Shakespeare's play, Gounod's has been the one to survive.
It's been the one to survive, and for very specific reasons. I think the combination of this French language and charm that he brings to the subject is interesting, because it lightens up the material, which is pretty serious and dramatic, but bringing his flair and his elegance to it kind of evens things out a bit, and then it becomes the texture of it becomes very interesting, as it's not all dark, and he brings the fun of Mercutio with his Queen Mab song, which is so light and so typically French. I think the strength of French opera is to treat the very tragic subjects and text with alternating with fun light moments and serious moments, and I think the contrast is what these contrasts are what makes the French operas really interesting, I think, generally.
And yeah. I think you're right about Gounod. There's that quality about it. It's never too heavy. There's the contrast that you're talking about.
Exactly.
And there's a great deal of beautiful music in it, which also takes, I think, a bit of star quality to put across. And can you tell us something about the cast?
Oh yes, gladly. I'm absolutely over the clouds, over the moon, whatever you say, with Amanda Woodbury, because we worked together. We did Faust together with Tulsa Opera not too long ago, and she's a dream to work with, because the voice is has wonderful quality to it, and she's quick. She understands the music. We just we happen to work so easily together because we understand each other. I don't have to tell her anything. I remember during the rehearsals we just looked at each other and understood immediately what had to be fixed, so it's wonderful. She's a wonderful interpreter. We have Derek Taylor, who's a strong tenor, who's very very solid, because you need someone strong in this role. You may think it's easy, it sounds easy, but it's actually very demanding. Like Faust is, like Don José in Carmen is as well. So we need strong voices as well, and he certainly has that. And we have wonderful smaller roles. Brian Meyer is doing fantastic in the Mercutio, the sidekick Romeo in the piece, and he's fantastic. And then other young ones from the program, from the Young Artist Program, and they're very promising. This is very exciting. Some people making their role debut, so it's very inspiring.
I think it's time we heard some of the music. Here's the famous waltz song from Act One of Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Marilla Franey with the waltz song from Romeo et Juliette by Charles Gounod, and a new production of Romeo and Juliet will be presented by Hawaii Opera Theater October 12th, 14th, and 16th at the Blaisdell Concert Hall, and we're speaking with the conductor of those performances, Emmanuel Plasson. As a young opera buff myself some years ago, I noticed that some conductors, mostly Italian, Nello Santi, Fausto Cleva, Gavazzini, Sanzonio, Guadagno, but also many Germans as well, conducted opera exclusively. I don't see too much of that today.
That's right. I think it was a very strong tradition at the time with the grand interpreters of the times, and I think it was their bubble. It was their the environment they needed, and they supported the singers so well. And I think it's. I understand that today, a lot of interpreters touch a bit of everything, and I think it's a good thing because you, as I was saying earlier, as a conductor, when you do concerts and when you do opera, these are very different animals. Opera, you have to consider so many elements, you know, the singers, the staging, and everything. But with the concert, you're more your own boss. But the one discipline helps the other because it's just very, very, very a different sport, and it's important to keep both things going, and that's what I'm trying to do. It's going okay.
Okay. Do you have any plans for the future? What's after?
Absolutely, yes. Well, I'm speaking of different disciplines. I'm conducting the Royal Ballet in London in a very interesting program with commission for the celebration of the anniversary, the 100th anniversary of the end of First World War. And we're going to perform a ballet called The Unknown Soldier with the Royal Ballet. And it's a wonderful piece written by Dario Marianelli. He's a Hollywood film composer, mainly, but he does other things, and ballet. And so it's very exciting because it's a very dramatic story, but with the ballet form, which is interesting. And so this is exciting. I work with them on a regular basis. And so ballet is yet another sport, another animal. And but with them, they're so fantastic. You can make music. You can be happy with them musically. So it's a wonderful thing. And then I will do a tour with Tosca, Puccini Tosca, next year in the south of France with young singers and Americans as well. So, yeah.
We've been speaking with Emmanuel Plasson, who will be conducting three performances of Romeo et Juliet at the Blaisdell Concert Hall, a new production from Hawaii Opera Theater. Get your tickets while you can, and it should be a beautiful production. And Emmanuel, it's been a pleasure speaking with you this morning.
Likewise. Thank you so much, Gene. Thank you.